Yeah, look, the giant chicken's Boba Fett.
It is useless, Theseus.
Taking one last look, sir, at my friends.
Now we're good, and I know we're good because my phone went off. Welcome, welcome. If you missed the first part of this show, we are here at the GNN Cantina Happy Hour. Pull up a stool, have a drink with us, and talk Star Wars. If you're rejoining us here on Facebook, thank you for rejoining us. If you're just now joining us on YouTube, we're sorry. We had technical issues, but luckily we didn't get that far into the show before we realized we had technical issues, so everything's taken care of. I am your host, David. Welcome, welcome, welcome. With me, as always, is my co-host, Debbie. Debbie, how are you this evening?
Now I got to redo everything again. Again!
Again. All right.
I erased everything.
I'm sorry.
Other than that, I'm doing fine.
Good. And Cam, how are you this evening?
I'm just doing dandy.
It's there. And also with us tonight, as he always is, Andrew. Andrew, how are you this evening?
Doing well, just living life.
Lovely. Hello, Travis. Travis popped in. Actually, not only did you pop in just in time, you missed our snafu from the original, from the first. So you're okay. You're good. It's not just in time. You're right on time.
He should be used to that because I'm sure he's seen several of our snafus. So.
Yeah,
nothing new.
you are just in time. We literally just started. So
yeah. Restarted.
Restarted. Exactly. Restarted. This is take two.
Yeah.
Take two. So got just a touch of news before we get started. I just found this out today from Mr. John Biscardi. Thank you, sir, for bringing this to my attention. I am all excited. I am all agog. It is the news that I have been waiting for a long, long time, for a very, very long time. Just found out today, Dallas Fan Expo, Tamora Morrison will be at Dallas Fan Expo this year. Boba Fett will be in Dallas. Now, I've got this, because see, I have got this cool Boba Fett Titanium Series die-cast figure, and it's autographed there. That's Jeremy Bullock and Daniel Logan have both signed this figure. Jeremy is up here on top. Daniel's down here. And now I get to get Tamora Morrison to sign it. All three of the Boba Fetts will... I've already told my wife I'm spending money on an autograph. So she's just going to have to get over it. It's $100 for his autograph, and I'm going to get it and have my Boba Fett figure signed by all of Boba Fett. I am super excited. If you're going to be in Dallas on June 7th through the 9th, pop in. Come see Dallas Fan Expo. It's going to be great. Now it is going to be amazing.
Who of us bought their tickets for Japan? Who of us bought our tickets for a celebration in Japan next year?
I don't know.
Star Wars Celebration?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Grimillion, we need tickets. We need tickets and flights to Japan for next year.
I will pass.
You don't want to go to Japan? I'd love to go to Japan.
No.
I'll blend right in.
You don't want to be around all those people?
No. Indianapolis was enough. You want to go for me?
So anyway, that's my big news. I'm excited. Found out, like I said, this evening, my heart was fluttering. I was beyond excited. I was happy.
If your heart's fluttering, I would recommend seeing a cardiologist.
Yeah, I might do that too. So I'm like cloud nine up here. So it was, I needed that. I needed some good uplifting news. So everything was good. I saw the Ninja Turtles. Wait, was that that was the third movie, right? Ninja Turtles 3? Yeah, that was a stinker. That was really bad. Anyway, all right, let's talk about the Bad Batch. Debbie, actually everybody here, we all got our wish. And Dave Filoni made our day. We had an episode that was more than 24 minutes long. We were able to...
I'm happily wrong.
Why is that? Oh, because you thought
it was... Because I said it wasn't going to be above...
Oh.
Yeah, but you sent that tweet later on and said it was an hour. I mean, it was close.
Yeah.
But...
Then I was like, yeah, I redeemed myself.
I mean, I had to get up extra early, but... It was fine. It was well worth it.
I just watched it like 2 hours ago.
I actually just watched it like 2 hours ago. I mean, I watched it last night, but then I watched it again like 2 hours ago myself. So, Cam, we were probably kind of on the same. Yeah, we were probably timed just right. But yeah, beautiful. It was lovely. It was an amazing end to the series. I've got a theory as to what's going to happen. And I may be completely wrong, but we'll see. But let's talk about the Bad Batch. So we're starting off, if you remember right, the Bad Batch is assaulting Tantus. Debbie, I don't think any of us were right. Was about Hemlock and Rampart kind of teaming up, and then Hemlock betraying him toward the end. And I think we brought that up a couple of times last. The only thing I really called was none of them died, which I was happy with. I felt the characters, especially Crosshair, went through so much that dying would be mean-spirited. I'll buy that. I think we had... with Wrecker especially, there was a lot of times where I thought, oh my God, we're about to lose Wrecker. Because honestly, I thought they were all going to die. And I was like, okay, here's how Wrecker's going to go. Because Wrecker was beat up at the first. And they kept saying he needs a med pack and he's in no condition to do this. And blah, 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 blah. And it was like, oh, geez, we're going to lose the muscle. We've lost tech already. Which we'll talk about tech here in a little bit, because I had some thoughts on that one too. Yeah, Debbie, I know what you've got that look, because I know what I'm talking about.
I know that you know.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
and you don't know. You don't know that I know that you know that he knows.
Exactly. So
what do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, the clones are trying to get in. The Zillow Beast, we knew that Omega was going to cut that Zillow Beast loose. I was curious as to how she was going to do it. I thought the idea of they jumped the droid, and they reprogrammed the droid basically to give the doctor a shot and knock her out. Rampart was the only big disappointment. His story went exactly how you thought it would go. I was hoping they'd subvert it and help them to spite the Empire and the Clone Project. Oh no, I never saw that at all. He was a jerk.
Yeah.
He had
he was all about himself.
Yeah.
That was never going to change.
It was self-service for him from start to finish, especially when they crashed.
I was more shocked how he died, you know, than anything.
That was great.
Well,
I thought it was good. I honestly, like I said, I thought Hemlock would have been the one to do it, but the fact that Namase
when I
was
saw
the
that
one
look,
did it.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I saw that look in Alise, and then she dropped the bomb, I was like,
well, when she picked the bomb up, I was like, I was like, I was like, okay, here's what's going to happen. He's going to chase, because he was following her. Mm-hmm. And she stopped at the down trooper and picked up the bomb, and he stopped at the down trooper and picked up the blaster. And I'm like, oh, they're both about to die. And they're both about to die when that thermal detonator goes off. Now, the fact that it took out all of Hemlock's data. Mm-hmm. bonus points.
Yeah, well, so Anala Say is the last of her kind, right? So that species
know.
Is gone.
I don't
think she's the last of the species because they only destroyed the one city on Kamino.
Isn't the senator still alive?
Oh, the senator may still be alive. But one city, is did they wipe out the entire...
Okay.
Did they genocide the entire race with one city?
I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless the entire race is on that one city, but I kind of doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a feeling she wasn't the last one. She was probably the last one, like I said, from that city. She was the last one that had any knowledge of the cloning tech used for the current clones. How about that?
Yeah, I saw someone post on Twitter a while the other day. It's like, who's looking forward to Rampart's redemption arc? And after this episode, I'm just like, what's that?
what is redemption arc for Rampart?
And that's why I deleted my tweet.
Was that you?
No, I'm just being silly.
Oh, okay. you know, yeah, I mean, it's like sometimes people are just evil. Not everybody needs to be redeemed.
No, and yeah, exactly. Really? Not everybody needs a redemption arc. It sickens me when it's like, oh well, we're gonna fix him. No, you've got to have bad guys. You have to have bad with the good.
Some people just can't be fixed.
Yeah,
imagine if they tried to redeem Hemlock. That probably would have been good for me. He was like, I'm good. I love clones.
Yeah, he's just walking around the Raddus still holding his hand.
Well, they never really explained what was going on with his hand, did they?
No.
He's got the one hand that's gloved, and he used it in this one. When he was typing the codes to bring his ship around, but it never really said what was going on with that. And I'm curious about that. You know, we were talking about last week about closing up loose ends, and that was a loose end that I mean, it's probably not necessary to the story, but I'm curious about it. I'd like to know why.
I just figured he tried testing or experimenting on himself for some reason.
It may come out like in a comic book. They're going to do a prequel to the Bad Batch and how Hemlock got in control of what he's into, and Star Wars Hemlock, which would be kind of funny because if I'm not mistaken, Hemlock's like a poison.
The
right?
Hemlock Adventures.
Yeah, catch the new Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
it's like Young Jedi Adventures, but it's Hemlock instead.
Still a female scientist, or Rampart said she would be dealt with before she pulled away. She is likely the only one left with the knowledge of the project. Yes.
That was Hemlock, not Rampart.
Yeah.
Yeah, potato, potato. Yeah.
Well, unless she died in the explosion, because that place was pretty much destroyed.
That makes me think of, towards the end of the episode, just real quick, when Tarkin is talking to the one lady, like the captain lady or whatever, and he's like, you know, saying all the stuff, and it's like, who are you talking to? Because she's not going to do that, you know? And so, I don't know. It was just funny.
I like the, like, divert all funding to Project Stardust.
Project Stardust. Reference! Woo!
With Vader's theme playing in the background.
It was like a deconstructed Vader's theme. I almost didn't realize that's what it was at first.
Yeah.
It was very slow and in a higher octave. But it was because I thought I had caught it the first time I watched it. And then when I watched it the second time, I made sure to listen. I was like, yep, there it is.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. The music, amazing. Again, with the animation style, not the style, but the cinematography on this one was just holy crap. There were times, I mean, and especially the scene in the rain where they're out on the bridge and he's just shot the ship down, and you've got Hemlock there with Omega, and he's latched to her. You know, he's got the binders on with her, and there's, you know, they're, the wind is blowing, and you think I can't get through you? You need her, blah, blah, blah. And all of that, I was just like, I was, oh, so amazing. I was so impressed.
It was amazing.
Like, it was great. Again, the cinematography. There were points where I looked at it, and I was like, this is, like, real. This has got to be, like, I mean, I understand motion capture, and I know it's animated, but in my mind, I'm just like, oh, my God, it's, like, real life going on right here. So,
'tis a model.
Oh my gosh. The next series will be Tarkin clones who have his brain but in baby bodies. Look who's Tarkin.
Oh my god.
Travis gets the joke of the show.
It'll be the Star Wars version of Baby Geniuses.
Yeah. Or Boss Baby. Yeah.
baby Looney Tunes.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, don't be dissing Tiny Toons. I like me some Tiny Toons.
No, I'm not. Catch it on Cartoon Network.
That's right. I do want to talk about Hemlock for a minute, because I found it amusing. And Debbie, I don't know, or any of you, I don't know if you caught this, but he kind of lost his composure. So they capture the Bad Batch. They're putting them through their, what did he call it? Their
reconditioning.
Yeah. He's trying to make them into operatives. And they come in and they say, Governor Tarkin hey, Governor Tarkin's on the phone for you. Come answer the phone. And the look on his face, I mean, he kind of got this sour look on his face for just a minute. And then he left and he went to go. My cat's scratching something.
He's behind you.
Oh. Cat scratch fever.
So. But they got a. They go to. He goes to see Tarkin on the hollow. And he loses his composure for just the, like, three words. And it's all of a sudden his Tarkin says something about, I have not lost control. I am fine. Everything is fine. We're taking care of things. Yes, but I heard you lost the control. Yes. I heard you lost the Zillow Beast and everything else. And I was like, so Tarkin's touching everybody's nerves these days. All right. So I just thought that was good. It was nice to see some, I guess, because you looked at it and said, okay, he's just like the calm, evil. Uh-oh, we just lost Andrew.
No!
Call of Duty. But he's always just been the calm, you know, calculating evil. But Tarkin just got to him to where it was like, I'm gonna slip. So, yeah. So the pacing of the action was a bit bizarre. Wrecker was getting murdered. Crosshair loses a hand. I hated that. Cut to them casually being wheeled in on a cart, and Echo being like, oh, yeah, I forgot about them. But Echo was more concerned at that point with the kids. We got to get the kids to safety first, and then, you know, basically get the innocents out of the way, and then we'll get the, then we'll deal with everybody else. They were actually shooting people, shooting to kill.
Except for finally, it took them.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, finally. Like,
and honestly, they end up rescuing the clones that were there, and if you didn't see them rescuing those clones and then the clones saying, we want to help fight, and basically putting together a larger squad of clones. If you didn't see that coming, you're probably blind, because
Star Wars, bro?
Yeah. Do you even watch Star Wars? Because that was like a gimme. That was a dead giveaway. We got a lot of the Zillow Beast in this one going nuts, which again was Dave Filoni. Hey, don't forget what I made. Look, I made this, remember? It was in the Clone Wars, first couple of seasons. Season 2, I think, right?
Yeah, and they were zapping it with a mini Death Star laser.
Yeah, yeah. And I called that one, I think, because I said, oh, she's going to get in there and turn off the laser, and it's going to set the beast loose. And it happened like twice, 2 or 3 times, but they got caught. It was her and those kids, and they got caught. And every time they got caught, it wasn't a what the crap is going on here, security breach. It was, sir, there are kids down here. Like, what do we do with kids? Where do they come from? It's like, come on, guys, really? Now, granted, they probably didn't know what was in the vault.
Nope.
But still, I'm just like...
Yeah, so Stormtrooper's like, oh, where do these kids come from? And the officer's like, well, TK-421, when a mommy and daddy love each other very much.
I wasn't going to go that far. I was going to go more like, where do these kids come from? Well, it's bring your kid to work day, for crying out loud. We had to do something. Nope, Andrew's back. Hang on. Let me get him on. Maybe. It's that Fortnite again. Loved Echo's arc. He joins the batch because he's a defective reg, but ends up ditching the gear, regaining his white armor and his hand. He should have given his hand to Crosshair.
Echo definitely has a lot more presence in this season. You know, in the first season, he was just kind of there. I mean, he wasn't he didn't really contribute a whole lot narratively, but he's really become of a very important character in this season, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, he was more of the he was like the I hate to be ugly, but he was more like the droid in the first season. It was like, we need to open the door. Okay, well, let me pop my hand in there, and he was like R2-D2. You know, we just need you to open doors. You're fine. Open doors and hack into systems, and that's about it.
Now I need to see a version of Star Wars where R2-D2 is dubbed by D. Bradley Baker.
Yeah, I can deal with that. So, want to talk about, so the Zillow Beast escapes, and there was several jokes about that. One being when the beast actually crashes out of the side of the mountain, and Crosshair says, "Is that Echo's work or Omega's?" And both of them together, yeah, it's Omega. That was great. And then, of course, when Echo actually found the trail of the destruction, he goes, yep, Omega's been through here. And it's like, oh, you guys.
It's like one big happy family.
Yeah, yeah. So, now I done forgot where I was going with. maybe I forgot where I was going with that. So Hemlock sends the shuttles after the Zillow Beast, and he activates his operatives to go dispatch the Zillow Beast. Looks like the trash after my grandmother peels onions. Okay.
I like the Zillow Beast.
Debbie thinks it's cute.
I do. I like it.
Let's see, Zillow Beast. I keep losing my train. Travis, your throat.
Oh, now we lost Andrew too.
I think Andrew shut off. He said something about his microphone not working.
Oh. No, he couldn't hear us, is what it was.
Oh.
He's still trying to figure it out.
He's figuring it out. We'll get him. Doggone it. Train of thought. I had a good one. Zillow Beast escaping Omega. Oh, the operatives. I want to talk about the operatives. The clone operatives that that Hemlock has.
I couldn't hear you guys. That's why I had to back out.
There you go.
But I
can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Very good. So I want to talk about the operatives. I want to get some thoughts on this. Each one of these operatives had a different helmet. We never really saw faces. I don't know if you happened to catch that one of those helmets had some big
goggles,
spectacle looking glasses. And that one happened to be destroyed by Wrecker when he smashed him into a wall. So what do we think? Do we think that Tech actually survived and maybe he's an operative now, or is this just a happy coincidence?
No, I hope it's a coincidence.
I think they just
picked up on that everything.
Well, I feel like it would be doing a disservice to his character by having him survive just to be turned evil.
Okay. Now, something else I wanted to ask you about this, because, and this may be part of the poetry that we talk about all the time, you know, everything kind of comes full circle. If you'll notice, he opens up the things, and when their helmets go on, there's it like lights up and it's like they come to life kind of thing. It's almost like they're robots being turned on. Could this be kind of the start of the Dark Trooper project? Because in Mando's season two, when Moff Gideon is talking about it, he says something along the lines of, you know, we used to have men in them, but they were unreliable, so now they're strictly droids, blah, blah, blah. He's talking about the Dark Troopers and everything. And the more I watch these guys and how precise and everything that they are, and the fact that they come on, they literally turn on like robots, and the fact that you never see their faces, I always looked at it and I was like, ooh, is this like Dark Trooper phase alpha kind of thing?
I have to agree with that, but the tech goggles or helmet, I think that it wasn't tech. I just think, I don't know, maybe he somehow, because there was a guy who was a sniper, you know, I don't know if there was a way to give these guys the same abilities in characteristics as the Clone Force.
That's honestly, now that you have said that, and now that I'm thinking about it, that's very possible that this is he's basically trying to mimic Clone Force 99, because you had the one with the goggles, you had the sniper, like you said, Debbie, you had the one with the knives that was fighting with the glow swords or whatever, and that's Hunter, that's the Hunter thing. You know, did he create a opposition? Oh, they fly now.
they fly now.
But yeah, with that, he created something that would be a direct opposition to Clone Force 99, and that just being because maybe he had he knew that they were still out there and that they were still fighting the Empire. So now that I'm thinking about it, now that I see it, I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's absolute. I'll buy that. Hemlock's death. Do we have thoughts on that? I thought it was great.
It was great.
One thing that was missing just for me personally was it was just one moment where like it really hits him that holy crap, I messed up, I'm about to die, you know. I thought that it was just a teeny bit too abrupt, but that's just me.
And I love the fact that Omega tried to, I mean Omega even at some point said, your dad is gone. You're not going to shoot me because I'm the only thing you've got left. I'm all you've got left. You're not going to kill me. So she was kind of turning it against him, and he goes, yeah, but they won't kill you either. So
I think Hemlock and Rampart were basically just twins, except for Hemlock was just more evil. You know, they just thought a lot about, you know, a lot of themselves. You know, they had egos and they were both cocky. And yeah, I mean, he was going to die on that hill that, you know, his project wasn't going to fail. He wasn't going to fail. As long as he had her, I think he had every confidence that he could still redeem himself in the Emperor's eyes and Tarkin's eyes. Well, maybe not Tarkin, because Tarkin doesn't like anybody.
No. I don't think anybody likes Tarkin either.
Except for maybe Vader. I think he respects Vader. But yeah, he's just out to grab everybody's thunder and their money, evidently.
And again, a difference between like Hemlock and Rampart too, though, is that, you know, Rampart was there after the data and, you know, tell me everything that you know about Project Necromancer. And again, we don't hear anything about, we don't know what it is exactly. It's hinted at very heavily. And I mean, you kind of got an, if you watched Star Wars for any length of time, you kind of know what they're getting at. But Hemlock was more, he wanted the data more for, I think Hemlock wanted it more for prestige and power within the Empire. And Rampart was more, I need it to either, somebody in the Empire wants this, and I'm going to be the one that gives it to him or sell it to him or whatever. You know, they'll give me whatever I want for this information. So,
yeah, he wanted it for the leverage.
Yeah, and it makes me curious now, because we hear about Project Necromancer in Mando season 3. So I'm curious to know who ended up reviving it.
Well, somehow Pershing gets the information in, because that's the whole purpose of looking for Grogu. So I don't know.
I wonder if
doctor that got away, you know, we were just discussing her earlier, the one that was being blamed for the kids getting away.
Yeah.
She got away, and that's how, you know, many years later, you know, somebody else has the information now. I don't know.
They diverted all the funds to what? Project Stardust, right? Mm-hmm. We all know what Project Stardust is, right? We all know that Project Stardust ended badly, right? Well, all of a sudden, funding for Project Stardust is wide open. Hey, let's reopen Necromancer, see what we can do with that. But we've got this other one going on over Endor, so.
I cannot believe that the Emperor would just never give up on that. I think it was always going on behind the scenes. We just didn't know about it.
Or maybe Tarkin made the call to pull it to Stardust. And the Emperor said, all right, fine, we'll do the Death Star thing, but I'm going to pull funding from somewhere else to keep Necromancer on the line. Or even to a point of, you know, because they said something about it in the earlier episodes to where Hemlock was using an awful lot of money to keep this going. And maybe he found a way to keep it going without spending as much money, kind of thing. He's implying that there are others, so he has to go to every other method now. Yeah. So, and Travis, you had said something about let's see here, where Hemlock's death looks very similar to the villain's death in Beverly Hills Cop, except for the guy in Beverly Hills Cop didn't also fall off a bridge into the darkness after he'd been shot to pieces. And then
he said similar.
I know. And then her reaction when she finally gets back to Crosshair and Hunter, and she's just standing there and she goes straight for Crosshair. I was like, she's going to grab both of them. Nope. Crosshair, one and only.
Well, there was a moment because she looks at Crosshair and you can tell she looks down and notices that he lost his shooting hand, but was still able to come through in the clutch and shoot the binders with his non-shooting hand.
I see him. Da-da. Cameo. Da-da. Cameo. Samuel's got the cameo. Yep.
Buy me this, Danny.
No, they're taking pictures of the dog. Oh. The animal. Anyway, shot. Reunion. It never really touched on how Echo and how did they reunite with Echo and
Dr. Emery?
No.
The kids?
Because Wrecker? Hunter yes, Wrecker. Because Hunter and Crosshair and Omega were all up on that top level and Echo and Wrecker were downstairs. Now we saw how they got out of it, but it was she knew that those two were there, but she didn't know that Wrecker was okay. So it was I would have liked to have seen a reunion with him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all things considered, the last, you know, couple of scenes felt a little rushed. I would have liked a bit more. I wouldn't necessarily say closure, but just a bit more with the characters.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, kind of reflecting on what they've had to do or something.
Yeah.
If there was an extra 10 minutes in the episode, you know.
Yeah. Just a little something for a bit more character to character interaction.
Yeah.
But we did get a nice little pre-credit scene.
Oh, with the
The epilogue.
The epilogue, yes. I want to talk about that one because I found that very interesting. Kitty, stop that.
No, Kitty, this is my papa.
Kitty, that's a bad kitty. All right, the epilogue. So Omega is now grown. It's been several years now. And apparently the rebellion is in full swing, and Omega is running off to be a fighter pilot in the ranks of the rebellion. Now, thoughts on this? I've got two possibilities. One, either we're going to have an Omega show that'll run like one or two seasons and show her fighting in the rebellion and what she does within the rebellion, and maybe even bring Clone Force 99 back in just kind of as cameos every once in a while. Or, and this one hit me even stronger, you have got they've recently come back, and we talked about this a little bit, and said that there is going to be a Rogue Squadron movie.
I was just about to bring that up.
How cool would it be if that Rogue Squadron movie focused, not necessarily focused on Omega, but she was part of that Rogue Squadron?
That would be kind of cool.
Travis's comment would have a good casting for that.
That would just be full circle. Poetry, it rhymes, it's beautiful. But does Omega survive the rebellion and move on into New Republic?
She's one of the main heroes. Of course she survives.
So in other words, in either the movie Mandalorian and Grogu or Mando Season 4, we might have a cameo for with Omega in it. We had Boba Fett, so sure, why not?
That'd be kind of cool. You know, live-action Omega comes in, it's just Tamara Morrison wearing a blonde wig.
That would be awesome.
There's several possibilities. I mean, she could be in Skeleton Crew. Rogue Squadron. She could be in, she could pop up in the Mando movie. She could pop up in Season 2 of Ahsoka. Or, my thought, because I'm kind of pissed that we never seen Asajj pop back up.
Yeah.
maybe Asajj is going to have a spinoff, and maybe she helps, maybe Omega helps her transporting kids to safety.
That would be a good one.
Along with
did we notice where Omega's ship was parked in the little epilogue?
Freaking cave again. Jesus.
That's where all the bad guys park.
Jeez.
That cave has been pivotal to the season so far.
That cave is more of a main character than the main characters.
Yeah. Or maybe we just get another animated series with her.
I hope not. I'd like to see it live action. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see her be a part of the Rogue Squadron movie. That's my.
Do we even know when that takes place?
No idea. During the rebellion. That's she's pinning it. Yeah, that's right. Because I looked for an article on it, and the last article I saw was the fact that she was pinning the script. So it's like still in early pre-production. So even though it was supposed to come out this year, I think. This year or last.
And she could show up. I mean, you know, there's years in between the original trilogy that she could be in. I mean, there's stories to be told that could be done animated or live action.
Watch, they're going to screw us all, and it'll be a comic book series. And it's like, oh, I'm going to go buy more comic books. Dad, come here.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I have a lot of comic books anyway, so I can just add to it. But
add to the collection. Not a big deal.
Well, when it comes to enjoying a fleshed out story, comic books aren't exactly the best medium for that.
Well, and again, because so many people don't read comic books. I mean, there are a lot of the fans that, okay, I want the whole story, so I've got to go read the comic books. Or if they see something that they don't, like, when did that happen? Oh, it happened. So they'll go pick up that particular series so that they can read about it, so that they have something to associate it to within the show or the movie or whatever. But generally, people just don't read the comic books. And if you throw something like that to the fair weather fan, they're going to be like, well, when did all of that happen? Oh, you got to go read the comic books. I'm not going to go read that. I'm just here to enjoy
the movie.
Well,
they can make a book out of it. I think more people read the books.
I think you're right.
At least I do. My Kindle is very full.
I was going to say my comic book box is very full, but my bookshelf is rather full as well. So I don't know. Travis says, I can see a series with an episode dealing with different clones living their lives. That would be good. Love to see one with Cody seeking out Ben, the two making amends, Cody also helping with the path. I think.
Yeah, we didn't get to see Rex or Wolf or.
That would be, to me, that would be the ideal series. Let's forget the clones. Let's just do a show on the path. How do they get these refugees from point to point? You can put the clones in there as the refugees. You can, I mean, like was mentioned in the Kenobi series, Quinlan Vos, you know, throw him in there, and you have just all these different stories about how all these different people are getting to and from safety, kind of thing. And then maybe have like one final episode where it's like here's the outcome of all of everything that's been happening this season, kind of thing. Just have each episode be a specific story about a specific person, and then have it all culminate together in one big piece of pie at the end.
Yeah, that would be your Avengers Assemble movie.
Mm. Exactly.
Clones Assemble.
No, I got to come up with a different word.
Move out. Clones, move out.
No, I got it. Clones, congregate. It rhymes. Kind of. All right. I do want to touch on one other thing, and actually I'll get everybody's. I want to know what your favorite scene. I mean, it could have been just anything. My favorite scene in this particular episode, I don't know why I liked it so much, but I've watched the episode twice now, and I rewound it both times. When Hemlock's out on the bridge, he's got Omega with him, and the ship flies in, and they shoot the ship down. And the ship, oh, I was just like, oh, that's a, I don't know why. Again, the cinematography. It was just so cool seeing that. Out of breath. Gives me goosebumps. Goosebumps and out of breath. There goes my heart again. It's palpitating. Favorite scene, Debbie, what you got?
Just her running up to Crosshair in Hunter and seeing that he had lost his hand and realized what he had to do in order to save her. I mean, I cried. I did. I was just like, well, I teared up a few times, but I cried. I mean, I was a bubbling fool during that scene. I was like, oh my God, where's the Kleenex?
Crap, I got to get ready for work.
Oh, now my makeup's running all over the place. Ah.
Oh, I don't wear makeup to work because I wear a mask, so I don't even bother.
All right. Cam, favorite scene, which guy?
Never mind.
Honestly, one of my favorites was the conversation between Crosshair and Rampart. You know, with Rampart almost trying to get into his head, being like, you know, we're not so different, you and I. and you know, that little tinge of hope in his voice when Crosshair says, "I've changed." You know, he's not just fighting for himself anymore. Because I mean, now he has a bestie in Omega.
Well, and that was really kind of hashed out too in this episode, because he was going to go storm the mountain by himself. He mm-hmm. was trying to send Wrecker and Hunter off, and he's like, "I know this mountain. I've been here." And it was almost like he was ready to self-sacrifice to go get Omega. And you didn't see that from him at the beginning of the series. It was good soldiers follow orders.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a wonderfully, honestly, the epilogue scene with Hunter, I think it should have been Crosshair in there with Omega instead of Hunter.
I agree.
I think that would have been a lot more powerful because of the relationship that they formed just within this last season. So, Andrew, favorite scene?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's the same as Debbie. I did get emotional when Omega ran up to Crosshair as well. It just, I don't know, it was just moving. So
it just hit all the feels.
This whole season has hit all the feels. And I've got to say, this is... Mm-hmm. This is
yours was a close second, though, David.
Oh, shooting the ship down! Thought it was great.
I do like the cinematography in this episode. Yeah,
I would. I don't know. For me, this is hard. I mean, the final season of the Clone Wars, as far as Star Wars animated stuff goes. Hi, Lewis. How are you? As far as final season, or as far as animated Star Wars goes, gosh, the final season of the Clone Wars and not even the final season, like the last four episodes of the final season, the Siege of Mandalore and the Order 66,
mm-hmm.
and this, I mean, it's like this whole season, like neck and neck. I mean, it's Filoni outdid himself.
Maybe they should just stick to animation and forget about live action.
Maybe, but
the fans will start complaining about that too.
Yeah,
we don't get enough live action kids cartoons.
Yeah, we don't need cartoons.
Yeah, but they complain about everything, so it's nothing new. They complain about everything.
Debbie wants Kathleen Kennedy to say, redirect all funds to the animated projects.
I mean, I've enjoyed the live shows. I mean, you know, people complain about them, and I like some more than others, which I have said, you know, 1,000 times. So I'm happy with live action or animated, but so far the animated has been peak Star Wars.
Better than the Mandalorian.
Resistance, you know.
Except for Resistance.
Yeah.
Clone Wars. Rebels.
The clone animated stuff. Yeah.
Travis has a really good one too. And this really hit home. Love the moment when the random clone saves Echo, then nods to him. It wasn't a main character, but reminded you that every clone is a main character in this story. Oh, Travis, that was beautiful.
Am I going to have to get out the tissues again?
Yeah, we need the Kleenex. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. Crosshair is the best character of the show. Happy he didn't die, which I thought was most likely. Yeah.
Get off, cat.
Ah, Ken's cat another making cat. An appearance. Oh, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Yep. Hello, kitty.
Aww.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were wrong about that. Well, you know, because when I went to watch it yesterday morning, and you turned it on, and it was just the intro totally different.
Oh, yeah.
There was no music during the, you know, where they show all the different helmets and all that. And then the music was different, and then the logo was different. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was...
Who's not safe in this episode?
And I was like, no.
Who forgot to fix the edit?
We could have a love triangle.
Oh,
sure, why not?
Yeah, it'll be like Twilight all over again. Are you Team Crosshair or Team Quinlan Vos?
Oh, God, no.
My sister's actually reading that book right now for the first time.
I'm sorry. God. Take it away from her.
Yeah.
Tell her it's pornography. And she
I bought it for
it.
Her.
Why would you do that, Twilight?
Twilight.
Do you hate your sister? Is that why you did that?
Did the you books hate are good. Sister?
Sparkly vampires? No.
The books are well written. Mm-hmm. The movies were all right, but the books are, as always, the books are better.
Yeah.
Did you read the books, Dave?
No, I have no desire.
Well, then shut up.
No, the movies are terrible. but you know
I
why?
Saw the I saw the first movie and I saw the last movie.
Robert Pattinson,
and that was good enough for
so
me.
That's why.
I didn't even see any. I still, to this day, have not seen any of the movies. In fact, I see them on.
Much.
In fact, I see them on like like if you're scrolling down the guide and I'll see that it's on and I'm like, I'm not even gonna stop. I'm not even gonna stop on that channel. Now, my older kids saw the movies, but I made their aunt, my sister, take them to go see those movies, and I was just like, you can have them go. I'll take them to go see.
You named my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?
What was it? Mocking the Hunger Games movies. I took him to go see Hunger Games, but Mockingjay was what I was thinking of. Oh.
Sure, yeah, probably. Not? You know, because now Star Wars is all about connecting the dots.
That's right. And and Omega is a pilot. Within the rebellion.
Huh. Oh, it's canon now. She was at the Battle of Endor.
That's right. Yeah.
Never know.
You can see her ship. It's watching the Return of the Jedi at 0.25 speed.
No, what is it there? I don't remember if it's true or not, but there was a thing going around where like one shot in the Battle of Endor is, you know, what one of the ships in the background is a literal kitchen sink.
It's no, that was episode 3. Episode 3, and that is true. There is a kitchen sink in the space battle of episode 3. And the I saw an interview about this actually. It was one of the special effects guys said, "We thought that was going to be the last this is going to be the last Star Wars movie. We're on this special effects thing, we're throwing everything in, including the kitchen sink." And there literally was a kitchen sink in the and the space battle at the first of Revenge of the Sith.
Well, that just kind of follows along with, you know, having actual potatoes in the asteroid field in New Hope.
Empire Strikes Back, yeah.
Empire, yeah, which, no. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it follows
along. One of the originals.
In one of their shows.
Debbie, did we get everything? Powerful episode, powerful season. Excellent job, Mr. Filoni. We know you watch from
time
to time.
Sad it's over.
Thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done. Yes, we're very sad that it's over.
I'm hoping there's an announcement May 4th.
Yes, that is right.
We've got Saturday. Wow.
Saturday. Yeah. Star Wars Day is
Tales of the Empire. Upon.
That's what we're talking about next week, by the way.
Hoorah.
Just so you know.
And then we have Acolyte starting in June.
Acolyte starts in June. That's right. That's right. It's going to be a great, great.
The one that everybody is already saying
a
is going to be terrible.
Saturday.
So, shameless plugs. What do we got? Debbie?
A new episode of War of the Stars dropped yesterday, and they are also celebrating their 7th anniversary of being a podcast. I believe they have a special guest who I think was one of the original founders on their show. And plus, they're also talking about
Brian
Batch. Saturday, Geek Gauntlet. I know they haven't been on the last couple of weeks. They've had scheduling conflicts. I'll spit it out. And I think one or two of them have been sick, but I think they may be on this week. If not, there's plenty of shows to go back and watch. Monday, we are back with X-Men 97 Episode 8. The first of a three-parter. Three-parter, Tolerance is Extinction, which sounds very ominous. And then Tuesday, we have the Sith Dominion. I think they'll still be talking about the Rule of Two and Bane. Well, anything Sithy.
Wow. You know how those guys are.
Yeah. I kind of like the Dana gets to ranting and then we get off on a different subject and yeah.
Damn, you need to go on that show. You would like it there.
Was it Sith Dominion?
Yeah. They love the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, okay.
No.
<I'm> not a setup at all.
We've had words. Don't worry. We've had words. Cam, what do you got? Shameless plugs.
Well, as of right now, the only one that I have is not coming up soon. Because I had told you before the show, I'm moving soon, so this month is going to be prepping for that. In August, I don't have a set date for it just yet, but in August I will be running another interview with Jonathan Mayberry, best-selling author.
Nice.
I interviewed him last year, and this time around it's going to be to build up hype for the release of the third book in his Kagan the Damned trilogy.
Was it
which
last year?
Yeah. It was February of last year that I interviewed him.
Jeez, I'm getting old.
I know. It
doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
Yeah, well, if I'm lucky, I'll be able to get Ray Porter in that stream as well. Not sure yet. I haven't heard back from him. I've been kind of talking back and forth with Mr. Mayberry about what we're going to be doing this August, but the release of the book is August 20th, so it's going to be before then. So details to come.
Gotcha. Andrew, got anything? Shameless plugs?
Yeah. This past Monday, I was on the Red 5 Network YouTube channel. We did our book review for The Martian, which was a lot of fun.
Ooh, The Martian.
So
great book. Andy Weir. First time reading it. Love his work.
I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, I loved The Martian. It's already an all-time favorite for me.
Read Project Hail Mary. That's, in my opinion, Andy Weir's best book.
That's the Red 5 Network, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, Red 5 Network, yeah.
Awesome. Besides my shameless plug of Fan Expo, which I did at the first of the show because I get to meet Tamara Morrison, still on cloud nine, I am going to do a special plug for some friends of the show. Mr. Devin and Miss Becky Stewart have a company that they're starting called Dungeon Guild Printing. They do a lot of 3D printing stuff, a lot of 3D printing projects. They are now, they've got a cool little QR code right there. This is a magazine. I'm going to look right here because I can see the picture right here. It's bigger. They are printing helmets, weapons, on cosplay, and tabletop gaming for 3D printing for table and tabletop gaming. And this is the cover of this month's Cosplay Society magazine. Now, this Mandalorian helmet that's on the front right here, this is something that they did. This is a project of theirs that they did. They 3D printed a Din Djarin Mandalorian helmet. It looks amazing. Devin sent that to me. Devin, Becky, looks great. I'm going to leave the QR code up there for just a couple more minutes. If you don't get the QR code, just pause and rewind. You can find it. We're on YouTube. Yeah, pause and rewind. But anyway, Dungeon Guild Printing, check them out on all the social medias because they are out. In fact, I think they're going to be doing a con in Sarasota, Florida this coming weekend.
Yes.
Sarasota Anime Con. Yep.
I saw that. Yep. Okay. So there you go. Why would you have an anime con on Star Wars Day weekend? Makes no sense. Yes, and don't forget that this weekend is Star Wars Day weekend. We actually get a May the 4th on a Saturday, so we get to celebrate. It's good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. All kinds of excited. I did something I don't normally do because I was concerned about product availability, but I went ahead and ordered my Lego sets for the May the 4th promotion on May the 1st. Usually I go to the Lego store, but I figured if I waited until Saturday to go to the Lego store that they wouldn't have any of the gifts with purchase for spending a lot of money. So I went ahead and ordered online, and hopefully they'll be here. Let's see, what did I get? I got the new Sith Infiltrator, which is the Darth Maul's ship from Episode 1. I got a buildable figure, which is the Droidica, the destroyer droid. And I got another, there's a clone battle pack that came out this year, came out earlier this year. And I just needed it to get to the $160 mark so I could get the gift with purchase. But it comes with like four clones and three or four battle droids and then some stuff for both of them. And then the gift with purchase was I might actually have, this is going to be one of the gift for purchase. I've already got it. Is the AAT, but this was the lower tier. Then there is a collectible coin on the second tier. And then the third tier is a limited edition droid troop transport buildable thing. It's cool. Very cool. I'm all excited. I'm more excited about Tamara Morrison, which is really weird, but especially since maybe because that's fresh, you know, that's new. I don't know. And I told the wife I'm spending $100. I just to let you know it's coming. It's going to be there. So anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. Check us out on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. Twix. Mash that. Twix. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Like, subscribe, mash that bell for notifications so you know when we do go live. We will see you all next week right here in the cantina. Have a great weekend. Have a great Star Wars Day. Happy Star Wars Day to everyone. May the Force be with you all.
I don't like sand. It's coarse.
rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere.
Pocket sand!
No!
Yeah!